Go to John chapter 4. This is the last lesson on walking with God. And this morning, the lesson is walking with God in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And there's going to be several key verses that I'll tell you, but this morning's lesson, you say, Pastor, you've taught on the Holy Spirit before. Nobody here is 100% yielded to the Holy Spirit of God 100% of the time. We all have flesh to deal with. We all have flesh to battle with. Learning about the Holy Spirit and how God can help you live the Christian life once you get saved should be a big help to you. John chapter 4, notice this in verse number 24. God is a spirit. If you stopped there, what God declares Himself to be. God is love. God is a spirit. Our God is a consuming fire. God is jealous. God is light. What God says in the Bible, this is who I am. First of all, God is a spirit. God declares that. Notice the rest of the verse. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does truth mean? That is in reference to your Bible. In other words, Tom T. Hall had a song in the 70s and it went, Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. Boy, everybody just loved that song. Yeah, me and Jesus, we got our own. You don't have your own thing going with Jesus. If you worship God, He only accepts your worship based on His Word. It is not how you feel about it. Well, you worship God this way, and I'll worship God this way. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That is according to the Bible. Notice the next verse. Look at verse 23. I should have started at verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit, here it is again, and in truth. And notice the last phrase of verse 23, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. There's a whole bunch of people saying they're worshiping God, but the Bible has nothing to do with what they're doing. They are doing it according to their flesh, their emotions, their feelings, their wants, their desires. But God says, I'm seeking people to worship Me in spirit and in truth. You say, why is this important? Because when for you to walk with God, you have to meet God's conditions. God never has to meet my conditions. There are things in this life that I don't think are fair. And there's going to be more things that happen that I don't think are fair. God does not have to be fair to me. God does not. I may not understand. That's where I trust the Lord. But God doesn't have to explain Himself to me. I can tell God, Lord, I don't understand that. That hurts. It's painful. Dear God, it breaks my heart. But God doesn't owe me an explanation for what He does. And for people to say, well, that's just not fair. Okay, life's not fair. We live in a sin-cursed world where sinners that are cursed, yeah, life is tough. That's where I have to trust the Lord. You say, why are you saying this? Because God says He's seeking people to worship Him with His conditions. Not on, well, you don't meet God on your level. God says, I'm here, you're here. If you want Me, I'm always here, but you come to Me on My conditions. I don't meet you on your conditions, and God is not supposed to be lowered. Okay, the churches that have the pastors that come in, you know, turtlenecks, or, you know, we don't wear ties because we don't want people stuffy, and then they'll sit on a bench, and they're like, we're all just common. They're trying to bring God down. And that attitude of casual, when you come into the presence of God, there should, okay, if you would get dressed up to meet the President of the United States, why wouldn't you get dressed up to go to church? You understand? And I'm not, if you would be in awe at a statesman, then what is your attitude when you drop on your knees and you're before your king and there's nobody around? You understand? It's an attitude. All right? You say, why do I dress the way? Could I preach in a t-shirt and jeans? I could, but it would show you a lot about my attitude about what I was doing, right? It's like, doesn't He care enough about what He's doing to get dressed up? Or is it just so casual and commonplace that it means nothing to him? God's seeking such to worship him, and for me to walk with God, he's always willing to walk with me, but I have to meet him on his terms, not mine. Right? Now, that's John 4. Here's what's interesting in your Bible. God is seeking people to walk with him. Go to James chapter 4. That's going to be near Revelation. We're still in the New Testament. Look at James chapter 4 and notice this. God makes another statement. This is all foundational for this morning's lesson. Nobody has their own thing going with Jesus. James chapter 4. God is holy. God is separate from sinners. God loves the world. God already proved his love and died for the world. Now, if I want to walk with God and I want God's help, I need to meet God on the level he... Okay, look at James chapter 4. Ready? It says here... Okay, look at verse 4 and then we'll... Verse 5 is what I want you to see. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity... Sound like the word enemy? Yeah, enmity and enemy are the same thing. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You can't love both. You've got to make a decision, right? What the world stands for? Then notice verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain? Watch. The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Well, what spirit dwells within you if you're saved? The Spirit of God. Notice what God says about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we use the word lust to talk about immorality. The word lust can mean that, but it means to strongly desire. Look at what the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you longs for. He's envious when we spend our lives on things that are not eternal, that don't count, that aren't what God wants us to do. They're not what God saved us to do. The Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says, lives within us, saying, please, let me help you. Please. He's longing or lusting to envy. You're wasting your life. Let me help you. And until I yield, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me saying, please, let me help you. Let me guide you. Let me strengthen you. I can help you. But when we don't, did everybody see that? The Spirit that dwelleth in us, that's talking to saved people, lusts or strongly desires because of envy. What we're giving our lives to is frustrating to God when we don't yield to him and let him help us. Amen? Now, with that in mind, I want you to take your Bible and go to Amos in the Old Testament. Going to be in the Minor Prophets, that section of the Bible everybody hopes you don't go to. Amos chapter 3. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Amos chapter 3. We could get into the prophecy of the chapter and the context, but using the verse like I'm going to use it this morning is not taking it out of context. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 is a very powerful verse in your Bible. Okay, you ready? Watch this. Now, if you got the Sunday school lesson, I think it's in your lesson, but watch closely. God asks the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? When we're talking about walking with God, we've already learned God wants, He's seeking for us to worship Him, walk with Him. He's longing or lusting for us to walk with Him. That tells me this. The only reason I don't walk with God is because God and I don't agree. God doesn't have to agree with me, right? I have to agree with God. That's a sobering thought. Because a lot of people, well, I just don't have time to walk with God. Well, I just don't... No, you don't agree with God. That's your problem. That's why your Christian life suffers. When you disagree with God, then you don't talk with Him. Then you don't fellowship with Him. You don't acknowledge His presence. You don't see Him at work. You don't see Him at home. Although He's there the whole time, right? If you're saved, amen. But you don't walk with Him and fellowship with Him and enjoy Him when you disagree with Him. Like on what? Let's take tragedies. I don't know why anything happens. I'm not God. All I can do is trust. That missionary story, you know? They get on the mission field in Cameroon, and then the missionary, I mean, within the first 2 weeks of them being on the mission field, got caught in a crossfire, took a bullet right in the head, done. I don't know why that happens. You say, they were there serving the Lord. They gave their lives to God. That doesn't make them immortal, right? Another family was on deputation, missionaries. First week out, mother and the 21-month-old baby. They go soul winning, and the missionary and the pastor go soul winning. In 2 hours, police find the missionary and the pastor and say, your wife and your baby were killed in a horrible car accident. You say, but they're serving the Lord. How come something bad happens to you when you're serving the Lord? Because serving God doesn't make you immortal. It means you'll live forever in heaven. Amen. But it doesn't mean bad things won't happen in my life. So when something happens, instead of trusting God, and I know it's hard, and you weep, your heart breaks. It doesn't take away from that, but when you stop trusting God that He knows what's best and He would not hurt you, then you don't walk with Him because you disagree. Well, I just don't think that should have happened. Well, do you know everything that's happening in the world? Only one person's over it all. That's why He's most high. He sees it all, right? I'm this close to the forest. All I see is the trees, right? That's why He's most high. He's the most high God. He sees it all. No, there's things that are going to continue to happen in this life that I can't explain, and I don't know why they happen. And there's bad things that happen to good people from our view. But God's in control, and I have to trust Him, or, watch this, I get bitter. And we were just talking to somebody last week, you know, invited him to church. No, I invited somebody to church this week. Me and Brother Harrison went out. The lady came to the door, and I said, where do you go to church at? And she said, oh, I used to go to Victory. I said, oh, that's good. I said, where do you go now? She said, oh, since my husband died, I haven't gone to church. I'm not going to church anymore. Okay, bitter. If God's going to take my husband, then I'll just quit going to church. Well, I guess you showed God, didn't you? I'm not being mean right now. I'm trying to think past. Well, I guess you'll show God, won't you? Well, that's fine. I'll just never go to church again. Well, then you cut your own throat spiritually. Excuse me, you must be, if they ever thought it through and quit letting their emotions make their decisions, they'd see how, I'm not being mean, how stupid that is. If God takes one of my children, I would be better yielding to Him that He knows what's best. There, I heard one preacher say this, he's dying, he has Lyme's disease, he sometimes preaches from a wheelchair in the pulpit, his men sometimes have to carry him to the pulpit. And he made this statement to me. Here's a man dying with 4 children, and I never forgot it. He said, one of the worst mistakes you'll ever make in your life is asking God why and demanding He answer you. God, why'd this happen? There's some things we may not learn. I know I'm going to understand it one day. But right now, I'm in a body of flesh. I have to trust the Lord. And if there's things that are going to happen next week I don't understand, and I can't explain, I can just trust God. Amen? This, can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer to the question is no. And the only reason a Christian who's saved, who has God living inside of them, does not walk with God and enjoy God's presence and acknowledge Him and love Him every day is because they disagree with God. Can two walk? What a verse. Amen? If you sat and you thought on that, I'm trying to help you think through the verse this morning. The lesson is walking with God in the fullness of the Spirit, or it being, for me to walk with God, I need to meet His conditions to do so. I need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit to walk with God. Because God won't let me walk in the flesh. If you want to do things your way and you're filled with you, then God says, then do it your way. When you come to the brick wall and the bottom falls out and you don't know what to do, I'm here, but God says, I don't make you do things. God didn't make you get saved. God didn't make you come to church. God doesn't make you read your Bible. You have to love Him enough to do that. Right? But if you want to just be saved, and then your life be a living hell while you're here on this earth, so that when you die, you go to heaven? Yeah, great. I'm glad you're saved. I really am. But I know a lot. I know a lot of Christians like that. Oh, I'm saved. I'm glad you are. How's your life now? Messed up. That's this generation. Here, watch this. Walking with God in the fullness of the Spirit, yielding to God, agreeing with God, understanding that my Christian life. Okay, watch this. Go to Acts 1:8. Go to Acts 1:8. I know this is kind of preachy, but we just taught on the Holy Spirit a couple of weeks ago. Okay? So I'm trying to give you an aspect with this truth. Look at Acts 1:8. We just finished with our missions conference last week. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Ready? This verse, there is so much in this verse. You know, meditation, I told you in the Bible, we're commanded to read the Bible, memorize the Bible, sing the Bible, study the Bible. You know the thing we're told to do most? What? Meditate. Take a verse and think about it. What is God saying to me in this verse? And when you read Acts 1:8, watch this. This is what Jesus told us. He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, colon, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That tells me this, Christian, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Jesus said in Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit of God, when you're yielded to God, you know what one of the main qualities you have is? You care about people's souls. People dying and going to hell should bother you. And a lot of Christians are like, "Oh, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to deal with that." It's a weight all of us are supposed to carry, right? That's why we give to missions, right? And God said, if you're filled, when the Holy Spirit of God comes upon you, you will be empowered to give the gospel. And if you don't care, I'm going to make a strong statement. Ready? Buckle in. Ready? Okay. Can we do that? If you don't care about people dying and going to hell, then Christian, I don't think it's a matter of whether you're saved or not. I can make this statement based on Acts 1:8. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. When God fills you, you care about what God cares about. It doesn't mean you sell your house and live under a bridge. Okay? It means you care about what God cares about. And ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And just to drive this home, look at, you're in Act 1, go to Acts chapter 4. Watch what happens. Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 13. Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness, not the rudeness. You know what the word bold means? Look it up in a dictionary. It means freedom of speech. In other words, boldness is not me being mean or nasty to people or rude or in people's face. The word bold means I can freely tell you about the Lord. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Being a Spirit-filled Christian doesn't make you nasty or in people's face. It makes you burdened about their soul, and you get freedom of speech concerning eternity, and you can witness to them. And watch this, in the same chapter, look over at verse 31. And when they had prayed, I'm in Acts chapter 4. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then what happened when they were filled? And they spake the word of God with boldness. There it is again. Boldness. So I don't think being a Spirit-filled Christian is spooky. Okay? It's not like you glow in the dark or you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. That's code for, I'd like to meet somebody like that someday. Somebody that loves Jesus so much, they're just worthless here on this earth. I haven't met anybody like that. That's code people, backslidden people talk that way, right? Oh, they're heavenly minded. Well, good. Very few are. Here it says, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you care about other people's souls. And you witness. You give out tracts because you care about their eternity, right? For me, I can't walk with God if I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. I have to agree with God, then I can walk with Him and do what He's seeking for me to do and what He's longing for me to do. I love this thought. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In the New Testament, just go over a couple of books here in Acts, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 18. Flee fornication, or sex outside of marriage. Run from it, right? For every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now, if you study that passage, he's going to say, because the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, I believe there's evil spirits involved in adultery and fornication. And bad spirits pass between the bodies when that type of evil takes place. Now, that's a different Bible study, and I did one on it last year on this passage. Look at verse 19. It says here, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. So let me get this straight. When you got saved, you became the dwelling place of God. All of God lives inside of you. What a thought, right? You're God's temple. We gather as a church, as an assembly, but if each person, and they do, that's saved, has God living inside of them, then we assemble together, then watch this. In the service this morning, do you know how good of a church service we'll have this morning? As much as every person is yielded to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it would help if the preacher's prepared. Amen. I'm not going to get up there and wing it this morning. But we'll have a good service if every temple of God is yielded to God as God's Word is opened. And we sing to God. And we hear God's Word preached. We'll have a good service this morning, but it's based on the temples. You, me. It's based on where God dwells. You say, why is that important? Because when you got saved, God gave you all of Him. What a thought. You know what the rest of the Christian life is? It's you learning to give yourself to God. That's why the next verse says, it says, all of God dwells in you. Look at verse 20. It says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Somebody says, well, I can dress any way I want because I glorify God in my spirit. God says your body is supposed to glorify God. How I walk, how I carry myself. If I came in here and I had tattoos all over my face and a pierced here and pierced here and 15 pierces on my ear and, hey, I did something different last night. You'd look at me, I hope you'd look at me goofy. Oh, that's just preacher. Would you like a sum total of the way you would feel? Pastor, you're not glorifying God with your body, right? And if you're not glorifying God outwardly with your body, then you're not glorifying God inwardly with your spirit. Amen? So your attitude and how you carry yourself, I'm supposed to glorify God because God lives within me. And the Christian life is me learning how to give myself to God. He already gave me all of Him. He died. What more do you want? He rose again. He made salvation available. What are you going to do about it, right? That's the Christian life. What am I going to give God back of my life because of what He's done for me? Now, this being Spirit-filled, is the Holy Spirit dwells in you when you get saved. John 14:17, Ephesians 1:12-13. He's the one that regenerates you. Can you go to John 14:26? John 14:26. You know, I'm so glad when God saves you, He doesn't say, okay, there you go, your sins are all paid for, you'll never die and go to hell, have a good life. God says, now that you're saved, I want to help you. I want to help you at work. I want to help you with your family. God says, I don't want you to do it by yourself. So notice what we have available to us when we get saved. John 14:26. This is just one of them, and I'll just touch a few things with you. Look at verse. It says here, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. What does He do? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. whatsoever I've said unto you. So God says one of the things that you have available when you get saved is somebody to teach you. You say, well, that's the Bible. I think it includes life. When things happen, like I told you, that I don't understand, if God's going to teach me why it happened or help me deal with it, it'll be through the Holy Spirit and God speaking to my heart through His Word. So the Holy Spirit of God teaches you. I'm going somewhere with this. Then notice you're in John 14. Go to John 15, 26. John 15. Just turn over one chapter and look at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. So the Holy Spirit of God teaches you, and then He testifies of Jesus. He shows you Jesus in the Bible and helps you speak for the Lord. Remember Acts 1:8? Right? You shall be witnesses unto me. Now, let's go to the last place. That's John. We've looked at John 14, 15. Now look at John 16 and look at verse number 13. John 16 and look at verse 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. When there's so many cults out there, and so much garbage on the internet, and so much false teaching, how can you make sure you're doing right? Stick with the book, and yield to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will guide you. Amen? He'll guide you into all truth. Look, before I got saved, I walked into a Pentecostal church. I was looking for truth. God was dealing with me. Kenneth Copeland Church, you know, I had that big satellite out there, and this was North Carolina. Walked in, and they had the rock band going, and I didn't care. I just was really trying to seek the Lord. I sat down, and of course this woman comes up to me, you know, and this other Marine that's sitting there, and said, you filled with the Holy Spirit? I don't know. Follow me. They follow us in this back room. They set him in a chair, set me in a chair. Four people gathered around us, and four people are gathered around him, and this woman's sitting there going, just speak in tongues, just let it come out of you. And I said, I'm so sick and tired of phony Christianity, I'm not making nothing happen. God wants me to speak in tongues, it'll happen, it's nothing I have to make happen. That was my attitude, I was lost. She goes, well, you're a rebellious. I'm sitting here, I wasn't even saved yet. I said, I think I'm done. I wasn't done with church. I just knew I was in a phony baloney place. And then I'd get saved about 5 months later. The Holy Spirit, when you're looking for God and you're seeking biblical, He guides you into all truth. And it's always through His Word. It has nothing to do with your feelings and emotions. Isn't that wonderful? You say, preacher, follow me on this thought. Ready? We're talking about walking with God in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. God wants to teach you. God wants you to testify of Him, and God wants to guide you, but God doesn't make you do it until you yield to Him. You have things available to you, child of God, this week. Aren't you so glad you don't have to do it alone? I don't care. That's why I can say this. I don't know what you're facing. I can just tell you this. If you want to face it alone, you can. But if you want God who lives in you to help you, all you have to do is yield and surrender. Some would call it, all you got to do is break. All you got to do is give in and say, okay, God, lead me, guide me. Lord, have you ever told God, God, I need you. For you to walk with God, you have so much accept. That's why I enjoy about this lesson. I know it got a little preachy, but that's fine. I hope it encourages you as a child of God. It helps me so much as a pastor. I'm getting ready to preach. I prayed this morning, I said, Lord, I'm so glad I don't have to do it alone. I'm so glad God didn't say, well, preach to the people my book. God says, I'll help you. I'll guide you. I'll strengthen you. And do you know what, Christian? That's not just available to me as a pastor. That's available to every child of God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad?